Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. So, how's your week been?
Busy.
Busy, good. Yeah, okay, yeah. Probably all over the map. I had a fun day yesterday. I got to surprise my wife. I don't get to do this very often, but I got to surprise her, didn't I? So, yeah. So her birthday is tomorrow. We're not going to sing right now, but her birthday is tomorrow. I know that what she wants more than anything else on her birthday or any day of the week, actually, is to see her kids. And I kept saying, honey, there's no way we have full schedules and there's no way we're going to get down to Albany. And so maybe in the summer we'll get down there. But I found a way. So we're leaving this afternoon and to see our kids, and our son is hosting a birthday dinner for us tonight, or for her. So yeah, really excited about that. Yay. All right. Bless God. Well, we are 5 weeks, believe it or not, into our sermon series titled Living in Response to the Holy Spirit. 5 weeks. This is week five. And we really hope that this has been encouraging to you, to all of us, as we seek to be more attentive and responsive to the presence and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We hope. That's been our intention. This is why we do this, is hoping that it's nudging us in that direction. And because we are a church that believes in both learning, and we're hoping that there's going to be some good learning going on today, but also putting into practice what we're learning, that's the kind of church New Hope is. We're a church that it wants to learn from God's word, and that we want to obey God's word. Yes? Yeah? You're at the right church? This is who we are. So because of this, I'm not going to do this because I'm trying to make you uncomfortable, but I understand what I'm going to be asking us to do this morning will make some of you uncomfortable. So I just want to acknowledge that. For those of you who know me, I have a tendency to do this. But I never do it to be mean or cruel or to whatever, to make you feel a negative way. I do it because there's a reason for it, and it's a good reason. We are wanting to grow together toward maturity in Christ Jesus. And it's one thing to hear me or Aaron or Beverly or others say words from here, but it's another thing when you get to talk with one another and to process what you're learning. Yeah? And that's actually what you're going to get to do this morning. You're going to be able to talk with one another. I'll give some further instructions. So how are we doing? Pulse rates? Anybody? We do have medical people here if you need help. So, but I will be praying for you because I know that there's some anxiety around this. I hope that when we get into it, you're going to be like, okay, that was not nearly as bad as I was afraid it might be. And also, that was incredibly valuable and maybe one of the best things that I've experienced in a long time in church. Okay, how are we doing? All right, nobody's arguing. Nobody's gotten up to leave yet. So that's really good. Okay, but before we do that, we're going to process together what we've learned so far in this series. We've given four messages on the Holy Spirit, so we're going to talk about what we've learned so far. That's where we're going to go. But it's kind of an open book quiz, I guess, because I'm about to give you a nice little recap of the last four sermons. Okay, so now would be a good time to take notes. Or you can click on this QR code that will magically appear on the screen. There it is. And if you have your phone, click on there and you will get my transcript of what I'm about to read. And you'll be able to have it so you'll be able to refer to it during your time of sharing. If for some reason that doesn't work, make sure your camera's not on portrait mode, is what I discovered. And if it doesn't work at all, we're trying. It's an experiment. I love all the phones that are being used. I really appreciate that. Hopefully you can access this online too. It worked for me. Again, if you're not able to get it to work, that's okay. I will share these notes later. Okay? Anybody get it to work? All right. Fail. That is a major fail. Okay. We'll try to figure it out. Beverly tried warning me last night. I don't think it's going to work, but it worked on mine. We got it to work back there, but not work here. So there you go. Okay. Okay. But I'm still going to give the brief introduction or the review of what we've covered so far. Okay. You ready? Okay, here's where we've been before we get into the new material. So the first message of the series was titled Raising Our Sails. Anybody remember that one? Raising Our Sails. I introduced the series by first addressing a common caution and fear that many of us have about the Holy Spirit. Some people perceive the Spirit to be unpredictable or mysterious in a really scary way, and that perception can cause us to have a distant relationship with the Holy Spirit. Scripture, however, teaches us that the Holy Spirit is not merely an abstract power, but a distinct and vital person within the Godhead, possessing attributes like intellect, will, the ability to be grieved. The Holy Spirit, we said, is fully God, sharing the divine essence, who is fundamentally involved in the work of redemption, in redemptive work. He regenerates believers at conversion. He permanently dwells within them and is the primary agent in their progression towards sanctification or toward becoming fully mature in Christ. The Holy Spirit does all of this, and we are so thankful. The profound truth is that the Holy Spirit, like the Father and Son, is fully deserving of wholehearted devotion. Although, as we said, he may not be safe in the sense of being predictable, he is always good, and he always knows what is best. Amen? Does that bring back some memories? We talked about that. I then went on in that first talk. I used the biblical the association of the Holy Spirit with wind. In the Hebrew, it's the word. Yeah, you got again. You sort of got to spit when you say the word ruach. And then in the Greek, pneuma. Yeah, exactly. So I presented in that section. I presented the metaphor of the Christian life as a sailboat, you might remember this, relying on the Spirit's power to move us forward, rather than a rowboat, which is where we're dependent upon our own strenuous self-effort. Since God is sovereign and determines the direction of the wind, raising our sails and dropping our oars is an act of surrender, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. Christians are commanded to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. We see that in Ephesians 5:18. And then I ended my first sermon with three very practical ways that we can raise our sails on a daily basis. Saturating ourselves with the Word of God, sitting with God in prayer, and submitting to God in obedience. This active act of surrender is what allows believers to grow in faith and move us ever closer toward maturity in Christ. Yeah? Okay. The second message, it was called Raising Our Hands, Receiving His Goodness. Anybody remember this one? Raising our hands and receiving His goodness. I presented an image at the very beginning of a terrified child on Santa's lap. I still remember the gasps and the laughs and that when we saw that up there. It was awful, actually. A child so terrified of Santa, afraid of receiving anything from this good gift giver. We were reminded that the Holy Spirit is a good advocate, helper, comforter, who was sent to empower believers with good gifts like wisdom, healing, prophecy. We refer to these as gifts of the Holy Spirit. Unlike the Old Testament, where the Spirit's gifting was often limited to specific offices or tasks, the Holy Spirit is now filling all believers, empowering us with supernatural endowments direct that are distinct from our own natural talents. Our main text that particular Sunday was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we learned a lot more about spiritual gifts and how they're distributed by the same Spirit to every believer for the common good, underscoring that diversity is God's design. Using the metaphor of the human body found in this passage, we were reminded that there's no hierarchy of gifts and that every gift is vital for the health of a community like New Hope Community Church. We need all of us acting on the gift that God has given to each one. Crucially, gifts are tools to be used for serving and blessing others. You might remember, deliver the mail. You remember that? Deliver the mail. These are blessings that we are to use to encourage others and to help others, to build up others, and to point others to Jesus. They're not trophies to be displayed. See my gift? Look how awesome my gift is. Let me see your gift. That's not what this is about, right? I encourage you to first surrender your life to Christ. If you haven't already, there was an invitation to do so, and then to pray for God's guidance and to seek input from a spiritually wise friend in terms of discerning your own spiritual gifts. And the final invitation was to eagerly desire, to posture yourself toward eagerly desiring the spiritual gifts and to receive them with raised hands, with a commitment to use them to glorify God and to serve others. Week three was Aaron's turn. And he gave a message titled, Let There Be Light, in which he taught how the Holy Spirit is an illuminator, bringing light to us through creation, redemption, restoration, and regeneration. That was his outline. To show this, we looked at four biblical passages. The first one was right out of Genesis chapter 1, where we saw the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, preceded by the creation of light, which was bringing then order out of chaos. Oh, I see you, boo. Okay, we're going to put up a QR code again. We're going to try this again. Boo, you're amazing. Or Andrew. Okay. Success? Anybody? Hey! Digital missions. We are, so that's Andrew Fitch back there and Boo. So thank you guys. Okay, it's not quite as aesthetically attractive as mine, but but at least it works. Okay, very good. So you can now find where I am. I'm on the third week, and we're talking about Aaron's sermon, and we're at Genesis 1:3, Spirit hovering over before light was created, which then brought order out of chaos. Exodus 31, verses 1 to 5, the Spirit empowers Bezalel with skills to build the tabernacle, bringing the light of God's presence to Israel. We then went to Matthew 3, 16, 17, where the Spirit descends like a dove on Jesus at his baptism, which preceded the divine proclamation of Jesus as the light of the world. And then finally, he ended with Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, where the Holy Spirit descends upon the disciples at Pentecost, empowering them to spread the gospel and continue Christ's mission of bringing light and freedom to the world. Aaron wrapped up his sermon by emphasizing that Christians are called to be participants in God's mission, working with the Spirit to bring glimpses of restoration and home to the present. He highlighted the importance of surrendering to God's will and embracing the leadership of the Holy Spirit to avoid exhaustion and to experience transformation. Aaron also encouraged us to engage in thankfulness and to build each other up as a community of Christ in spreading the gospel for the glory of Christ. You remember any of this? You remember it? All right. So I'm recapping this because, again, in just a moment, you're going to have a chance to share how has God been speaking to you in this series? And I'm hoping that this recap maybe is reminding you. Oh, yeah, that's right. God did say something to me about that. So that's the reason why we're doing this. I have one more week, though, that I need to sum up, and that was last week's. Beverly's incredible message called "You Yourselves Are God's Temple." Beverly traced the concept of God's dwelling place from Eden, where God and humanity enjoyed harmony, through the portable tabernacle or the tent of meetings, the temple in Jerusalem, which was built by Solomon, which God eventually left due to rebellion, and finally to Jesus, the Word, who made his dwelling among us. The ultimate point is that through Jesus, God initiated a new covenant that works from the inside out, commissioning believers to be God-bearers in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Beverly pointed out that being the temple of the Holy Spirit empowers believers in three ways. First, we're invited to celebrate that God is with us, hovering over us, providing for and protecting us, and leading us with his presence. As she was prepping her sermon, we were talking about it. We gave this first point a nickname. We called it UP, U-P, because of the invitation to look up to God for all that we need as he is hovering over us. UP was our nickname. Glenn, QR code fail again. Asking for credit card info. Do not use. Sorry, is this true? Do not give your credit card information. Wow, I'm so sorry. I really, really am sorry. Okay, don't worry about it now, please. And for those traumatized, or those that now owe more money than you have in your account, there's prayer ministry afterwards that we will be offering. And I'm really, really sorry for that. And thank you, Digital Missions, for letting us know. Hopefully not too late. Okay, how are we doing? This is far more entertaining than I thought. Hopefully not at your expense. Okay. So three points that Beverly made. The first one we nicknamed UP because it reminded us to look up to God. A second way of appreciating the significance of being the temple of the Holy Spirit is to embrace our new identity as God's chosen people, defined by generous hospitality and living under a marital covenant with Christ. And we nicknamed this point IN, because of the influence this has on the way that we think about ourselves. It's more inwardly focused. So there was upward, there was up, and then there was in. The final point Beverly made was that as the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are to present Christ in the world. We gave this point the nickname, what do you think? Out. You're so clever. Out. This mission involves being agents of transformation, carrying God's requirement to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That was Micah 6:8. and exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, which he reviewed from Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, and on and on. Through attention and obedience to the Spirit's prompting, even ordinary actions, you might remember her waiting room story, even ordinary actions become conduits of God's grace, enabling believers to serve as a beacon of Christ's love to guide God, people home. Okay, how are we doing? Is that an okay review? A little lengthy, I understand, but this way I work. So, all right, so in a nutshell, that's what we've covered. First 4 weeks, we're in week 5, and there's a total of 7. Before we get into new material, which we will get into, this is your chance. So what I would like you to do is I would like you to find roughly, one or two other people. Can it be more than that? Yes, it can. So roughly one to two other people. I'm limiting it to smaller because you're only going to have 5 minutes. And I really would like room for everybody to share. But I also want to say that you don't have to share. You can just say, yeah, I wasn't here, or this is the first time I'm hearing about this, or I haven't heard anything yet. And that's okay. There's no shame in any of that. So if you have nothing to share, that's fine. Just say, pass. But I can't wait to hear what y'all have to share. Does that make sense? So no shame if you have nothing. But if you do, you get to share it. But keep in mind, as a group, you only have 5 minutes. So no sharing hogs. So kind of keep your comments brief. Be aware of the time. We will put up a timer here so that you can sort of keep track of how we're doing in the 5 minutes. Okay? Any mark? Set? Go. 5 minutes. We are out of time. I'd love to know what your experience was like that afterwards. You can, if it was a positive experience, you can talk to me immediately after the service. That would be great. If it was something different, you might want to wait until like Tuesday or Wednesday, and then you can contact me. But I do want to hear your reactions and whatever. And if you've ever preached, getting negative feedback immediately afterwards is sometimes difficult. So, but I do welcome your feedback. So, especially the positive feedback early on. Okay. All right. There we go. So we're going to move into new material. Fortunate for you, it's only one verse. It's only one verse, but we do have to read it in context, of course. So today's message is entitled, We Are God's Empowered Witnesses. So I'm actually going to begin where Beverly left off with her sermon from last week. Remember the nicknames? They were up, in, and out. Yeah. Good thing I'm not doing a sacred dance. Beverly and I were saying it would be, what did we say, scared dance if we did it. Yeah. Up, in, and out. This morning, we're going to look at the final words of Jesus to his disciples before his ascension, when he announced that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would be empowered to go out as his witnesses to the ends of the world. So our the text is, of course, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But we do have to read the text in context. So we're going to just begin with verse 1 of Acts 1. In my former book, which is the Gospel of Luke, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So these are the final instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples before his ascension. While his disciples were still focused on a political revolution or restoration, which is the meaning behind, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus shifted their focus, as he always did, from when the kingdom comes to what they are to do until it comes. That's what they're needing to be focused on. Some have noted that Acts 1:8, the verse that says, but you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Some people see that as like a table of contents for the book of Acts. You can read that verse and see what the book of Acts is going to be about as it unfolds. I agree with that assessment. I also, however, agree that this verse, this one verse, can actually be like a table of content for our lives as we are seeking to obey Jesus. Okay, so I am going to introduce to you this this lamp up here. I'm going to use this as a metaphor. So this is it's a bulbless lamp. It's a beautiful bulbless lamp, but it's bulbless nonetheless. And again, as a metaphor, I'm going to use this to represent a life without Jesus, a life without Jesus. And this bulb that I happen to have conveniently in my back pocket, which I don't normally have, and I'm not a magician, it's been back there the whole time, it's representing Jesus, the light of the world. So when Jesus is invited, don't laugh at my metaphor, when Jesus is invited into a person's life, it's like they are now a lamp with a bulb. But for this bulb to light up, the switch, and I learned in practice, needs to be switched twice because it's one of these switches. Okay? Needs to be lit up. So in order for this bulb to be lit up, the switch needs to be turned on. In this imperfect metaphor, don't get too deep theologically with this metaphor, okay? Just work with me. If you push metaphors too far, you get yourself into trouble. The Holy Spirit provides the power that we need to display the light of Christ to the world. That's the point of the metaphor. When living in response to the Holy Spirit, some people, they just need to drop their oars. Some people need to deliver the mail. And some people just need to flip the switch. Okay? I'm going to keep that on, but I'm going to put the shade on because it's obnoxiously bright. Jesus said that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. For some of you, this is for some others of you, this is new. The word power in the original language of the Bible is the word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamic or the word dynamite. The power that the Holy Spirit provides is the supernatural ability given to us to accomplish what is beyond our natural strength as we obey Jesus. This power isn't primarily for our own comfort and edification, though the Holy Spirit does provide that for sure, but for the work of being Christ's witnesses in the world. The word for witness in the original language of the Bible is the word martos. So I've given you dunamis, and now the second one is martos, which is the root for our word martyr. In the first century, being a witness for Christ often meant being willing to die for him, for the truth, as 10 out of the 12 disciples did. Being a witness for Christ today means the same thing. Last year, it was reported that nearly 5,000 Christians worldwide were killed for their faith, making it the deadliest year in modern history for Christians. Last year. However, some people dispute that number. There's a report, a well-respected report out of Nigeria, that claims that this figure, 5,000, is grossly inaccurate. Because according to their records, there were 7,000 Nigerians killed in just the first 220 days in 2025 alone. In just the one country. If you want to dig into this, I can give you my sources and you can be as impacted as I am. Beyond those killed, it's estimated that 388 million, or just shy of 400 million Christians, which is approximately one out of every seven Christian globally, face high to extreme levels of persecution or severe discrimination in 2025. And more than 3,600 churches or Christian property was attacked or were closed, forced to close by local governments. Those are sobering. This is not ancient. This is last year. And as many of you know, it continues to go on. In many parts of the world today, they don't need a sermon like this one to remind them of the cost of following Jesus. They're reminded every day of what it takes, and in some cases, what is taken to be a witness for Christ. Of course, most Christians around the world are not called upon to physically die for Christ, but all Christians are called to deny themselves, to take up the cross, and to follow Jesus. That is the invitation. Jesus said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loves their life will, for me, will find it. Is following Jesus easy? Following Jesus has never been easy. Is following Jesus costly? Well, Jesus answered the question this way. Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. This is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Following Jesus as his witness has never been easy, and it's always been costly. And it's precisely this reason why the supernatural power to do what he's calling us to do is so necessary. Amen? How are we doing? When Jesus spoke these final words to his disciples, they were in Jerusalem, which is the very place where just 6 weeks earlier they had put Jesus to death on a cross. Jesus was not a safe place for them or for anyone associated with following Jesus. It was the most unsafe place on planet Earth, Jerusalem. They probably would have preferred Jesus to say something like, "And you will be my witnesses first, far, 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 far away from here." But no, he says, "Here in Jerusalem, and then Samaria, Judea, to the ends of the earth." Being a witness for Christ with those with whom we live, work, study, and compete can be among the most difficult mission fields you'll ever experience. Can I get an amen to that one? Oh yeah, we know this to be true. It's usually not easy, and it can be costly. And yet the price we pay is nothing compared to the price that Jesus paid on the cross, and we have to keep reminding ourselves of that. I appreciate the way that Peter puts it when he said, when his mockers, Jesus' mockers, hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we may die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds we have been healed. We are like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. This is the cost that Jesus paid, the price he paid. Living in response to the Holy Spirit means that we flip the switch, allowing the power of God to move us from fear to faithfulness as we shine bright the light of Christ here and everywhere, no matter the cost, no matter the consequences. Are you in? Thanks. Are we in? Are we in, church? All right, so I'm going to invite the musicians up at this time. I'm just going to end by praying two prayers, two blessings for two different groups of people. There are two groups of people. One group is you're a Christian. You know you're a Christian. You love Jesus, and you want to obey him. You want to follow him all the days of your life. That is your number one priority. You're a Christian. You love Jesus. You know that your sins are forgiven. You have come here to worship him. If you are a Christian who finds talking to friends, family, coworkers, classmates, teammates about Jesus difficult, I'm just going to pray a prayer, a blessing over you. And I would just ask that you close your eyes and hold out your hands and receive this prayer if that's you. If you would like to receive a prayer, a blessing, to be delivered from fear and empowered by the Spirit. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I confess that fear often holds me back. But you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Holy Spirit, fall afresh upon me today. Help me to flip the switch. Ignite my heart with your divine fire. Replace my trembling with your boldness. And move me beyond and out of my own comfort zones. Grant me the words to speak and the courage to act so that I may be your faithful witness to the ends of the earth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive that prayer. If you've come here today curious about Jesus but not yet following him, I want to just point out something. A lamp is designed to be lit up like this. It's designed to shine. Your life can only be what it was intended to be when Jesus comes into your life.
Amen.
It's the only way. And you can ask Jesus right now to forgive him of your sin, to fully surrender your life to him as your Savior and Lord. And so if that's you, if you are ready for your life to become what it was meant to be, I'm going to ask you to hold out your hands. And I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer along with me. I'll prompt you, and you just follow my promptings. And then church, because nobody prays alone, you know how awkward that can be, I'm going to invite all of us to pray this prayer with those who are praying it for the very first time. Is that good? So we're going to pray this one aloud together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you for the gift of your love and my life.
Thank you for the gift of your love and my life.
Jesus, I surrender my life to you now.
Jesus, I surrender my life to you now.
Take my life.
Take my life.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Forgive all my sin.
Forgive all my sin.
And as I turn away from my sin,
as I turn away from my sin,
turn my life around to you.
Turn my life around to you.
Make it the way that you intended it to be.
Make it the way that you intended it to be.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I can walk in your truth.
So I can walk in your truth.
And know your power.
And know your power.
And show your love.
And show your love.
I pray with Jesus.
Pray with Jesus.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Not my will, but yours be done.
In his name I pray.
In his name I pray.
And we all sit together. Amen. 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 If you pray this prayer for the very first time, I'll be down here afterwards, and I would love to meet you and to talk with you about this, especially if you have any questions. Friends, church, we are empowered to be God's witnesses. And we have the joy of being able to worship him together. So I want to invite you to stand. Let's do this together.